He'd seen something like this out in the Red Country, although he'd not been certain that it was art in the way Ankh Morpork understood it. It was more like a map, a history book, and a menu, all rolled together. Back home, people tied a knot in their handkerchief to remind them of things. Out in the hot country, there weren't any handkerchiefs, so people tied a knot in their thoughts. They didn't paint very many pictures of a string of sausages.
"It's called Sausage and Chips Dreaming," said Dibbler.
"I don't think I've seen one like that," said Rincewind. "Not with the sauce bottle in it as well."
"So what?" said Dibbler. "Still native. Genuine picture of traditional city tucker, done by a native. A fair go, that's all I ask."
"Ah, suddenly I think I understand. The native in this case, perhaps, being you," said Rincewind.
"Yep. Authentic. You arguing?"
"Oh, come on."
"What? I was born over there in Treacle Street, Bludgery, and so was me dad, and me granddad, and his dad. I just didn't step off the driftwood like some people I might mention."
His ratty little face darkened.
"Coming over here, taking our jobs. What about the little man, eh? All I'm asking for is a fair go."
For a moment, Rincewind contemplated handing himself over to the watch. "Nice to hear someone siding with the rights of the indigenous population," he muttered, checking the street again.
"Indigenous? What do they know about a day's work? Nah, they can go back where they came from too,"
said Dibbler.
"They don't want to work."
"Good thing for you, though. I can see that," said Rincewind. "Otherwise, they'd be taking your job, right?"
"The way I see it, I'm more indigenous than them,"
said Fargo, pointing an indignant thumb at himself.
"I earned my indigenuity, I did."
Rincewind sighed. Logic could take you only so far, then you had to get out and hop. "A fair go, that's what you want," he said. "Am I right?"
"Yep."
"So, is there anyone who you don't want to go back where they came from?" Fargo Dibbler gave this some deep consideration.
"Well, me, obviously," he said. "My mate Duncan, because Duncan's me mate. And Mrs. Dibbler, of course. And some of the blokes down at the fish and chip shop. Lots of people, really."
"Well, I'll tell you what," said Rincewind. "I definitely want to go back where I came from."
"Good on ya."
"Your socio-political analysis is certainly working on me."
"Beaut."
"And maybe you can show me how, like where the docks are."
"Well, I would," said Dibbler, obviously torn, "only there's going to be this hanging in a few hours, and I want to get the meat pies warmed up."
"As a matter of fact, I heard the hanging had been cancelled," said Rincewind, conspiratorially. "The bloke escaped."
"Never."
"He certainly did," said Rincewind. "I'm not pulling your raw prawn."
"Did he have any last words?"
Goodbye, I think."
"You mean he wasn't in a famous last stand shootout with the watch?"
"Apparently not."
"What kind of an escape is that?"
said Fargo.
"That's no way to behave. I didn't have to come up here. I gave up a good spot at the Galah for this. It's not a good hanging without a meat pie."
He leaned closer and gave a furtive look both ways before continuing.
"Say what you like. The Galah's good for business. Their money's the same as anyone else's. That's what I say."
"Well, yes, obviously. Otherwise it'd be, different money," said Rincewind. "So, since your night's ruined, why not just show me where the docks are?" There was still some uncertainty in Dibbler's stance. Rincewind swallowed. He'd faced spiders, angry men with spears, and bears that dropped on you out of trees, but now the continent was presenting him with its most dangerous challenge. "Tell you what," he said. I'll even buy something off you."
"The rope?"
"Not the rope. I know this may seem a somewhat esoteric question, but what's in the meat pies?"
"Meat.
And what kind of meat?
Ah, you want one of the gourmet meat pies, then?
Oh, I see. That's where you say what's in them.
Yep.
Before or after the customers have bitten into them?